Centro Tepeyac versus Montgomery County. And Mr. Royalty, when you're ready, we'll hear from you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This case may be somewhat similar, but
it's not similar.
But it's very different in a lot of ways,
okay.
Your Honor.
Okay.
You know, as is typical in First Amendment cases, Your Honor, the core issue in this case is the level of scrutiny. The district court below reasoned that the county health regulation compels speech, therefore is content-based, therefore is subject to strict scrutiny. Now, there's a lot of good analysis in the district court opinion. I don't mean to be too critical of the district court's opinion, but on that point, on the conclusion that the judge reached about the level of scrutiny, we do take issue. There are many circumstances, as we've discussed in our brief, where courts have upheld compelled disclosures of various sorts. Electioneers, lobbyists, fundraisers, all can be compelled to disclose, and those compelled disclosure laws were not subject to strict scrutiny in the cases that I cited to you, except for Riley. Riley was subject to strict scrutiny, but the court in that case in a footnote stated that a disclosure of professional affiliation would withstand strict scrutiny. That's the kind of disclosure you have in this county health regulation.
Yeah, that's a little too broad, your argument is a little too broad. I mean, you have to take each one as it goes. When you have a regulated profession like a medical profession, or you have accountants, or you have professionals, there clearly are different state interests in that. Also, if you have a commercial transaction, it's a more relaxed operation under Hudson, as you know.
Absolutely.
It seems, and you can argue this, but I'll tell you what I think looks like the governing authority would be Riley. Now, if you don't think it is, it might be worthwhile addressing Riley, because Riley did say that in this type of a circumstance, strict scrutiny would apply. So, both Judge Chasnow in this case and Judge Garbus in the other case reached the same conclusion, as did the New York case.
That's true. You know, as this court's well aware, First Amendment jurisprudence is very context-driven, and I think the court's pointing that out to a degree. And the context here is women's health. And we do have cases in this context where disclosures were upheld. Casey, Summit,
well,
Rounds.
That's a little general, too. I mean, it may be women's health. The clinics that offer abortions, obviously, get involved in that very much. But I think these clinics suggest that they are more as an alternative to using the medical profession and trying to keep the baby in its natural delivery and raising the baby or putting it up for adoption or whatever. But they are not suggesting that they are going to take the health aspect of it, I don't think.
Your Honor, it's undisputed in this case, in the legislative record, that the council had before it testimony, using the term loosely, they weren't under oath, but they were speakers before the council who testified to their experiences at these pregnancy centers in Montgomery County, including Centro Tepeyac. And they told the council, and there's no dispute about this, that these pregnancy centers give medical advice. They do give medical advice. And they're not licensed. Those two things are not in dispute. So we wrote a regulation that specifically addresses that issue to ensure that women would be aware of the lack of licensing. And frankly,
now you all raised the issue of professional speech.
We did.
And you litigated it, right?
I did. And the district court.
And you think
court,
there's authority for it?
And I do, because the district court cited to authority for it. That's one of the. I referred to some sound analysis by the district court. The district court actually ferreted out these professional speech cases. I said in my brief that I wasn't aware of the Supreme Court specifically identifying this professional speech doctrine by name, and I'm not aware that it has. But there is this thread through the case law that the district court pointed out of these professional speech cases.
So what professions are being regulated in this case?
Well, unlicensed provider of pregnancy services would be the profession. My opponents
designated under the state code of Maryland.
No, well, the state code of Maryland licenses physicians, social workers, nurses. They don't have a category for those who are unlicensed. If you practice medicine without a license under state law, you may be in violation of that law.
Is that a criminal offense?
I'm not sure if it is. My client doesn't have jurisdiction
that. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
practicing law, you have a license. Some places a criminal offense.
Yeah, yeah. Montgomery County Council in this case sits at the board of as the Board of Health for Montgomery County, which is a state designation. So they have authority to address threats to nuisances to public health, and that's what they've done here.
Yeah, but see, in the profession context, the notion is that the regulated professions, there's a public interest in seeing that the medicine is not quack medicine and this type of thing. If these people are practicing medicine, I'm confident there's a criminal law that says they're not allowed to practice medicine, but they would be the first ones to tell you they're not doing that. They're coming at it from as an alternative to abortion, and most of them are religiously based. They are suggesting that there's a natural way, both psychologically, to support the woman and to put the child up for adoption or to keep the child, depending on the circumstances. And that's the type of counseling I think that they are trying to offer as an alternative. If the state were to try to regulate that as a profession, I suppose it might be able to. I don't know. But it doesn't. The range of these people providing this type of advice goes all the way from the clergyman to these centers. I'm not sure there's a lot of comfort you can draw from the regulation of professionals where speech can be compelled to a greater extent in connection with that state interest.
But the state interest is more dire here because if a person's unlicensed and they're giving medical...
The state has to exercise the interest in regulating the profession. Your concern in this case is just like we heard in the earlier case, is that there are misrepresentations being made during the course of the services. That's the argument that you're making. And you said you heard this kind of testimony, and you put in a statute to try to tell them what they don't provide.
Your Honor, we're not addressing their misrepresentations.
What are you addressing?
We're addressing the lack of licensing. They're giving medical...
If you can do so legally, try to license them.
The county council sitting as the Board of Health doesn't license. And
well,
so what they did...
to license. I mean, the point is to tell somebody they have to speak in a certain way in lieu of licensing...
Cite any case where a private entity who is not subject to any licensing is compelled to speak the government message?
Well, I the cases that I cited where compelled speech was upheld with respect to lobbyists, fundraisers, electioneers. I'm not sure all those folks were licensed. I mean, I honestly don't remember off the top of my head, but I don't think all the folks in those cases were licensed.
But they were statutorily regulated activities.
True. And we're statutorily regulating pregnancy centers have a license.
You're practicing medicine without a license. Violating the law, aren't you?
That may be. That's for the state to determine. The only thing we've done is the Board of Health, which we're allowed to do.
Regulating these. Don't have any provisions in the code that I'm aware of that tells them how to function, what kind of persons they have to have, what their hours are, what the cleanliness, the inspections. You're basically doing one thing. You're telling them they have to put up a sign that says this, which they don't want to put up.
But we are. We're only regulating them in a very narrow respect to address a specific issue.
Just their speech.
Not their speech. Their lack of licensing is the trigger here.
Say the dissenter does not have a licensed medical professional.
Right. If they don't. Now, I don't want to wade into the pro-life versus pro-choice debate. However, if there's pro-life centers.
What about the mechanic down the street who's very much a pro-lifer and everybody goes to see him as a wisdom matter? And does he have to put up a sign behind his stall that says, I'm not a medical professional?
No, and the reason is we had a record before us that there's these things called pregnancy centers that provide medical advice, that presents themselves as a medical clinic. A mechanic fixing your car does not present himself as a medical clinic. These folks do. Again, undisputed.
What is the medical service they provide?
They give medical advice, and they present themselves as a medical clinic.
What's the medical advice?
They give advice about abortion, the risk of cancer.
What do they
tell women that getting an abortion will give you cancer. They tell women that birth control doesn't work. That's something a doctor would tell you, and that's what they're telling women, and they're not licensed. And we didn't get into
why doesn't the district attorney for Montgomery County prosecute them for practicing medicine without a license?
I can't speak to that. There's nothing in the record. Maybe there is a cause of action there. I don't know. But the board, my client, the Board of Health, can only act insofar as its jurisdiction allows it. We don't have jurisdiction over that. There may be a prosecution there. I don't know. I can't.
What are they called here? Are they called the same thing or called in Baltimore or something different?
We call them limited services pregnancy resource centers. I think the term we use in our law, it's probably very similar to Baltimore City's. But again, the core point here is
limited service, which means there's service.
Limited service, yes. But the point is that it's what they say, it's not triggered by what they say or what their ideology is. The application is triggered by the lack of licensing. That's a viewpoint neutral trigger. It's a content neutral law in that regard.
It's very strange that you would say, instead of licensing, you say there's a lack of licensing, therefore you're entitled to regulate them. It seems to me it should be just the opposite, that if you think they need to be licensed, then you license them. But because there is no licensing, then to tell them that they have to say something because they're not licensed, that's just what the Supreme Court in Riley was addressing.
Well, and again, in Riley, the Supreme Court clearly said that fundraisers can be required to disclose their professional identity.
Well,
that's a compelled disclosure. The Supreme Court said that was A-okay, and this is no different. This is absolutely no different than the disclosure they said was okay in Riley.
So you think that we have to apply all the campaign finance laws to this these clinics?
I think
that's the principle we should be applying, First Amendment principle.
The principle is that
Citizens United and all these others, the Right to Life of Wisconsin and Wisconsin, right? Those cases, that's what you want us to apply?
I'm saying the reasoning that underlies those cases apply, because when a law is content neutral, viewpoint neutral, which this one clearly is.
Of course, those cases say that when you regulate speech directly and not just the disclosure, it's strict scrutiny.
When you regulate speech, when it's content-based or viewpoint-based, yes, that's absolutely true.
All right.
This law is neither. In their complaint, Setra Tepiak said our law was viewpoint-based because we exclude abortion clinics. Well, we don't exclude abortion clinics. Aren't even mentioned in this law. There's nothing about abortion in this law. There's nothing triggered by the advice they give to the women concerning abortion specifically, or their point of view on abortion. None of that has anything to do with the application of the law. It's strictly a matter of they give medical advice. They're not licensed. There's a pro-life pregnancy center in Montgomery County. The record reveals Rockville Pregnancy Center, which has licensed medical professionals on staff, and our law does not apply to them. There's no trigger based on your view. It's not triggered by, to quote you, Your Honor, your doctrinal point of view. It's strictly a disclosure in the nature of a consumer protection measure. That's all it is, to let women know whether the person that's given them medical advice has a license or not.
Now, where does the Board of Health get its power?
From the state of Maryland. There's a state statute that says Montgomery County Councils, or the county's governing body, sits as the Board of Health for Montgomery County. And as the Board of Health, it can address nuisances and health-related issues. It's sort of generic.
It can address or it's obligated to address.
Excuse me?
It can address or it's obligated to address.
May address. It has a discretion to determine what to address and how. And I would submit to you, that's what they've done here. Simply, it's a very narrow consumer protection measure, not triggered by anyone's point of view on abortion, very much content neutral.
Well,
and
if we assume
for that reason, it should be upheld or should be subject to less than strict scrutiny. Sorry.
If you assume that strict scrutiny applies, you certainly argue that there is a compelling need. It's narrowly tailored. It's least restrictive alternative.
Yes.
What is there in the record that reflects the actions of Montgomery County to alert the public to the dangers that you say are represented by these two forms of disclaimer?
I'm out of time. May I answer the question, though? I have nothing in the legislative record that addresses that. My response to that is that a broad-based advertising campaign will not reach the folks that need to be reached. The women,
we broad-based advertising campaign. I asked you if there was anything, a sign posted at the county administration building, something on the website, anything. And apparently there's nothing.
There was nothing submitted in this legislative record on that issue.
That answers that question.
That's correct.
All right, thank you, Mr. Ortiz. Mr. Rienzi? You may proceed.
May it please. I'm sorry. May it please the court. This case is controlled by three bedrock principles of constitutional law. First, strict scrutiny applies where the government compels non-commercial, non-professional speech, and it applies when the government regulates speech based on its content, both of which are the case here. Second, the government cannot satisfy strict scrutiny without actual proof of actual harm, and mere speculation and conjecture are insufficient as a matter of law, and that's all the county has here. And third, even if the government can establish a compelling interest, it must use a narrowly tailored approach targeted at the precise evil that it aims to regulate. It hasn't done so here, nor has it used any other method within its ability to address the alleged problems. Those three basic, uncontroversial principles of First Amendment law require a complete preliminary injunction here. Judge King, if I can return to the questions you asked earlier about professional speech. First, the district court below, while discussing the doctrine, found that doctrine does not apply here. The city of Baltimore agreed that doctrine does not apply. Montgomery County at the district court.
The city of Baltimore didn't raise it in the other case you're talking about.
I believe the city of Baltimore said this morning that they don't think that doctrine
exists.
That's
in the other case. That's what
yeah, that is the other case, correct. Montgomery County in this case at the trial court did not allege that they were trying to regulate professional speech.
I'm not arguing that they're right.
Well, I'm just making the point that...
I'm not arguing that they're right. This seems to me that it says limited services pregnancy centers.
Well, that's the label
limited
that the
service county... pregnancy resource centers. That indicates on the face of it to me that it relates to health care.
Well, that's the name of it that the county put on it.
Language relating to health care, there's certainly a apparent, it looks like, it deals with professional services, medical services.
2 points, Your Honor.
And
first...
And if it deals with medical services, their health and safety is something that the government has an interest in.
As Your
should
Honor...
have an interest in.
As Your Honor has pointed out, and the other judges have pointed out, if somebody's actually practicing medicine without a license, the state has indisputable ability to regulate that.
If somebody's practicing law without a license, it's the state or the government has an interest in it.
And that is exactly
right.
And that is exactly the narrowly tailored approach that if Montgomery County has a concern
about... Well,
here about,
on the face of this, it looks like they're practicing limited pregnancy resource centers.
I disagree,
they're
Your
providing
Honor.
Providing pregnancy information.
That is a label that the county put on these centers
is
in
that
the statute.
A false label?
It is a label that they've put on it, and it applies if you provide information about pregnancy. So the county labels it limited service pregnancy center.
So you're saying it doesn't relate to health care?
I'm not saying it does not relate to health care. People are allowed to discuss health care, and the First Amendment protects their right to discuss health care, whether or not they have a medical license. What I'm saying is
but
that if
it relates to health care, then the state has an interest in protecting the health of its citizens.
The state has a general interest in protecting the health of its citizens. That interest cannot be applied to regulate private speech about health issues.
Well, it depends on, that goes to what kind of speech it is.
Yes, it does. And here the speech is non-commercial, and it is not
That's
professional.
What you say. He says it's commercial.
Actually,
and
he
it's professional.
Actually, he doesn't say it's commercial. They didn't argue below that it was commercial. The trial court found that they had not taken
the
a position on whether
found
it's commercial.
It was non-commercial.
I'm not sure that they're even arguing here that it's commercial. The statute regulates people providing information about pregnancy, whether they do so for free.
Maybe
you know.
He's sticking with professional here.
Maybe he is. Let me do commercial for a second first, and then I'll go to professional. Commercial speech, the tests are clear. It has to be speech solely related to economic interest, and it has to be speech proposing a commercial transaction. That does not happen here. The trial court found, Judge Chasnow found it does not happen here, and the county does not contest those factual findings. The statute applies whether you offer pregnancy information, which is pure speech, offering information about something, pure speech. The statute applies whether you do that for a fee or as a free service. The statute regulates non-commercial speakers. The district court found that, found facts that Centro Tepeyac is a non-commercial speaker, doesn't propose commercial transactions, and the county does not challenge those facts here. Commercial speech, as every judge to look at the issue has found, has nothing to do with these laws. Professional speech, all of the cases that the county cites, which again were not cited below, were not argued as a separate professional speech doctrine below. All of the cases that the county cites relate to situations where the government licenses and regulates a particular profession. And then the courts say, well, incidental to your regulation of the profession of being a lawyer, for example, the government can regulate some speech by lawyers. And incidental to the regulation of the medical profession, we can regulate some speech by doctors. The difference here, as some of the other members of the court have earlier pointed out, is that Montgomery County did not set out to license and regulate people who talk about pregnancy, nor could they. Right? You can't create a profession that says, well, if you talk about pregnancy, now you're a regulated profession, the government's going to decide who can do it.
Are you saying the Board of Health has no business in this?
I'm saying the Board of Health does not have power to do what they did here, okay, which is create a speech regulation that is triggered solely by discussion of one issue, pregnancy. Right? If Centro Tepeyac tomorrow says, I want to talk about AIDS, I want to talk about cancer, I want to talk about drug abuse, life and death medical issues, this statute has no application at all.
You're saying pregnancy doesn't relate to health?
No, I'm not. I'm saying pregnancy does relate to health. I'm saying this law is triggered by talking about one issue. That makes it the quintessential content-based regulation of speech. If you talk about pregnancy, you have to give disclaimers. If you talk about cancer, AIDS, addiction, STDs, any other life and death medical issue, you're freely allowed to talk about it without posting a disclaimer. In the professional speech cases that Judge Chasnow raised, which she ultimately said do not apply, she cites Justice Jackson.
Are you appealing that part? They're appealing that part. Anybody appealing that part?
I'm not
appealing. We got appeals and cross appeals.
You're cross appealing the judge's upholding the
right.
First clause. Right.
She upheld one part of the disclaimer,
right.
Not on professional speech grounds.
Appeals and cross appeals.
Yes. So we think she was basically
somebody
right.
Somebody's challenging that. They're challenging.
I guess they're challenging that because she ultimately said it did not apply. What we're challenging is that she said there was a part of this law that could pass strict scrutiny. And if I can move to that for a second, the Supreme Court's opinion last term in Brown was explicit on the subject of what type of evidence the government needs to offer to satisfy strict scrutiny. And it said, as it had said earlier in Turner and other cases, that mere speculation and conjecture cannot create a compelling interest. The government has to come forward with actual proof of real harm. And so in Brown, this is the violent video games case, the state of California came forward with some studies that said, well, if kids look at these violent video games, they end up more violent, right? They are more angry. And what the court said is, look, I see your studies, but your studies at best are anecdotal proof. They don't prove to me a connection between what you're trying to regulate and the harm that you say exists. Well, here, the county bears the burden of proof that it has a compelling interest. It doesn't have anything like what the court called ambiguous proof in Brown and what the court rejected as impermissible. It has no proof of a single actual pregnant woman who incorrectly believed that Centro Tepeyac or any other pregnancy center was a medical clinic, and no proof of a single actual woman who delayed seeking medical services because of it. Not one. That cannot be a compelling interest. If you look at the face of the law, what they say is that someone may be misled and could delay seeking medical services, right? And that's based on the testimony of NARAL student volunteers who also say, well, someone could be fooled. Someone might be fooled. But could and might, as a matter of First Amendment law, cannot add up to a compelling interest. The court in Brown was very clear. You need evidence that the actual harm you're talking about is real. The harm they're talking about is that people will mistakenly think that Centro Tepeyac is a medical facility, and they don't have a single shred of evidence. They didn't come forward with anything to show that that interest actually exists. It's all speculation that cannot satisfy the compelling interest test. But even if it did, just pretend for a moment that they had evidence. They don't, but pretend that they do. It loses on narrow tailoring in a heartbeat, right? The claim is someone might falsely hold themselves out as medical. Well, if that's the case, regulate people who falsely hold themselves out as medical. If the claim is people engage in false advertising, regulate false advertising. If the claim is people engage in fraud, regulate fraud. The Supreme Court in Riley tells governments that's how they have to proceed. Instead of doing all those things, what the county has done here is it has said, well, we don't want to regulate falsely holding yourself out as medical or false advertising or fraud, even though those are the claimed harms we're targeting. We want to regulate people who talk about pregnancy. But the First Amendment doesn't allow them to make the jump. They're trying to make a jump and say, well, we think it's people who talk about pregnancy who are likely to engage in fraud, false advertising, falsely holding themselves out as medical. But they're not allowed to make that jump. Riley's clear on that. Police Department of Chicago v. Mosley is clear on that. The government is not allowed to look at people and say, let me hear what you're going to talk about, and then I'll judge whether or not you're going to raise problems.
If this is professional speech, what's the level of scrutiny?
I don't know, because there is not a separate doctrine of professional speech, to be honest, Your Honor. And honestly...
Well, there seems to be one in the Fourth Circuit under Judge Butchner's case back in 1988.
The court there allowed the regulation of accountants, right? It was a regulated profession, right? Accountants. And it said in the course of regulating that profession, regulating people who are practicing the profession of accounting, it could regulate some speech about accounting. But that is, again, that is incidental to the regulation of a profession that's regulated. Here, this is not that. You heard the county say, we have no authority to regulate people practicing medicine.
This is the Board of Health. He says he's representing the Board of Health.
Well, he's also the county attorney's office.
He says they have duties with respect to the health of its citizens of Montgomery County.
And he also said that they have no authority over licensing of the medical professions. If he didn't say it here, it's in the yellow brief on page 9, footnote 6. They said they don't have the authority to regulate the medical professions, right? Well, if they don't have the authority to regulate the medical professions, then they don't have the authority to incidentally regulate somebody else either. This is not like the 1988 accountants case, where you had people who were practicing the profession of accounting for money. So you also had commercial speech, people practicing a profession for money.
And who pays the people that work at your center?
I'm sorry?
Who pays the people that work at your center? Are they all volunteers?
Some of them are volunteers. Some of them are paid by the nonprofit. You know, Centro Tepeyac is a 501c3.
What's Tepeyac refer to? Does that mean something
special? It refers to a location in Mexico where I'm gonna mess up on the name, but where Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to a Mexican man. So it has a religious significance, and we are a Catholic center. But on professional speech, again, the only time any court has allowed a regulation to be classified as professional speech is where the government regulates that profession, and then this is an incidental regulation of speech related to it. Here, they haven't tried to regulate
the profession. The government regulates
health. I don't think you can say the government regulates health generally, as in they can regulate everyone talking about health. No. They regulate some people who engage in the practice of medicine. But again, to go back to the professional speech cases, Justice Jackson in Thomas v. Collins was very express on this exact issue. He said, well, look, the government can regulate who practices medicine without a license. That you can reach. But the government cannot stop citizens from taking positions on whether people should follow a certain school of medical thought. No matter what the government wants to try to say, it can't stop you or me or anybody else from talking about the health effects of smoking, from talking about whether it's a good idea to get LASIK, right, from talking about any medical issue we want. What we can't do is practice medicine. We can't hold ourselves out as practicing medicine. But if anyone does that, you can regulate it directly. What the government is trying to do here is use speech about pregnancy as a proxy and say, well, if you're talking about this subject, right, even if you don't even have to talk about medical aspects of pregnancy, right? If you're saying, here, let me give you some diapers and let me send you to a parenting class, according to this law, you're covered, right? It's not just for people who talk about medical stuff anyway. So I don't think it works. There's no fit here. It's not narrowly tailored. It's certainly not the least restrictive means. Judge Agee, you had asked about what else they do. The record shows nothing else that they do. The record shows that sometimes county offices send women to Centro Tepeyac. But There's nothing in the record to suggest that even then does the county bother to tell them this supposedly compelling message that Centro doesn't have doctors on staff. Well, if it's compelling, at least they'd be telling them when they're sending the very women to Centro Tepeyac. There's no indication in the record that they do. That's their burden, they fail to carry it, and they lose. Last point I'd like to make for the court. The First Amendment also requires strict scrutiny where the government has acted and its rationale is because of the opinion or perspective of the speaker. In Rosenberger, the Supreme Court explained that the government must abstain from regulating speech where its rationale is the opinion or perspective of the speaker. This morning, the county wants to argue this is all just about not being licensed. But if you look at the legislative record, and it's in our red brief, it's discussed at 32 to 37, it's very clear that this law was enacted because of disagreement with some speech. It wasn't just that people were talking about abortion, it was that the county didn't like what they were saying. Then the county says that this law is designed to address, this is the county's words, designed to address inaccurate and misinformation that they think is being given out. Right? The county is perfectly entitled to have its view that some pro-life pregnancy center's views on abortion are inaccurate or wrong. They're entitled to think that, but they are not entitled to regulate speech because of it. The First Amendment requires the government, if that's their view, to speak on their own, to try to get what they think is the correct message out. If they think they should warn people that Centro Tepeyac
is... The government could say that misrepresentations of fact in connection with providing services of this kind are prohibited and fine somebody, and then put the burden on the government to prove that they're wrong factually.
Absolutely. And if they want to take that burden, if they want to pass that law, that would be much more narrowly tailored, and I'd look forward to the chance in court to defend my clients from that.
Really,
but they haven't passed that law. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Renzi. All right, Mr. Royalty.
A couple of points. Mr. Renzi said that this law is based on mere speculation. That's just not so. The legislative record shows unequivocally that there were women who came to the county and who had firsthand personal experience with the pregnancy centers and said the pregnancy centers gave medical advice, didn't disclose that they weren't licensed. That's undisputed. That's the intent of the law, is to address that situation.
Why don't you regulate that?
That's what we did. That's what we're doing here. That's exactly what this is. And it's narrow. Mr. Renzi says, well, they should regulate false advertising.
I mean,
well then
this
we're
is
in
a part of a large discussion that involves spirituality, that involves buying diapers, that involves placing people, that involves making plans for having children, adopting them. This is a broad range of discussion that is supposed to be offered as an alternative based on moral foundation. Alternative to the approach of electing to have an abortion.
Right.
And it seems to me that you're sweeping in all of that discussion. And they don't want to say those things.
Just the opposite.
It's compelled speech.
We're leaving that discussion alone. We're not interfering with their discussion with their patients, as they call them. Yeah. And they do call them that.
You might be able to regulate, and this would be pretty dicey in this kind of context, but you could regulate false statements. Although, you know, people talk about all kinds of, is saccharin and sugar a medical problem or not? Does it cause cancer? You have half the people say it causes cancer, and the other half says it doesn't, you know, the telephone in the ears. And we have a lot of advice and talk about that type of thing. And there's a distinction between practicing medicine and talking about it. And this is just a pure speech regulation.
But we stayed out of their conversation with their patient about
but
medical matter.
But you have to get into it if that's your problem. If that's your problem, your speech, your regulation has to be tailored to address the problem. And you didn't do that.
Because it only says that they have to disclose if they're not licensed. That's it. They don't have to. It has nothing to do with their view on abortion.
Everybody who talks about it, why don't you tell them, before I get into the discussion, please note, I'm not licensed. Now, what kind of...
We don't require them to do that. It's just a sign on the wall that lets the public know they're not licensed.
A sign on the wall is less speech than speaking it?
Yeah, it's less intrusive, and the courts have said so, yes. But again, we're not getting into the conversations they have with their patients. That's the key here.
You're calling them patients. You say, is the record report...
They called them that in their complaint. They call them patients in their complaint. That's their word. And all we're doing is making sure that the patients know that the person that's giving them medical advice is not licensed. We're not interfering with any of their religious-based message or their view of abortion or any of that. And we have a solid legislative record here that they give medical advice. There's no dispute about that, and they're not licensed, and that's what prompted us to act. Mr. Rienzi quoted something from the legislative record, I don't know what, about the real intent of the council here. The intent of the council is stated in the resolution. They stated their purpose. That is the only purpose that this court can consider. You can't go past that purpose and try and impute some improper legislative motive to the council. And that purpose is content neutral. The council clearly said we're concerned that women could be misled into believing that they provide, that they're licensed when they're not, that you have to look at the resolution, and the board as a body stated its intent here. They're worried about clients neglecting to take action.
Do you have evidence that people were saying they were licensed when they were not?
We have evidence that they did not disclose their lack of licensing. That's the way it's stated in the record.
But did somebody say I'm licensed and wasn't?
I don't recall any testimony to that effect. What I recall is there was testimony that they present themselves as medical centers. They don't disclose that they're not licensed. That was the issue, and that's what the issue the council tried to address. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Royalty. We'll, you have a few minutes on the cross appeal. Yeah.
A few brief points, Your Honor. First, the county did not stay out of Centro Tepeyac's discussions. It requires a sign on the wall that announces to everybody the second they walk into the place that we're not licensed and the county thinks you ought to go talk to somebody who is. That is interjecting themselves into the discussion. The county is perfectly free to have the viewpoint, but it is a viewpoint. They're free to have the viewpoint that the most important person for a pregnant woman to speak to is a doctor, and that the most important qualification for talking to anybody who's pregnant is a medical degree. If they want to view pregnancy as a solely medical issue, they're entitled to that viewpoint. But many other people, including the plaintiffs, view pregnancy as a much broader issue than just medical. The plaintiffs provide lots of help to women that they can't get at doctor's offices. So the county may think the most important credential for talking about pregnancy is a medical degree, but they're not entitled to interject that viewpoint into the discussion. As Mr. Royalty's answers made clear, there is not a shred of evidence in this record that Centro Tepeyac has ever represented to a soul that it is medical. There is not a shred of evidence that anybody has ever actually believed it was medical. The evidence that Mr. Royalty points to is visits by NARAL student volunteers who describe themselves as eager volunteers for the project, who went in and said, well, somebody could be fooled. Somebody might be duped. Somebody maybe would think it's medical. But what they don't have and what they need...
Were those people shopping the center?
Yes.
Were they actually intending to receive guidance?
I don't think so. I don't think there's no indication that they were. They were sent specifically to try to find, as I understand it, to try to find problems with.
Is there any evidence
centers
from some people that were actually seeking help?
That's my point. No, there is absolutely not one page. There's not even a hearsay reference to the existence of some actual person who sought help and was confused. No one. It cannot be a compelling interest.
Does the record in this case reflect how many entities that would fit the definition of limited practice center there are in that county?
I think the legislative record before the county indicates that there are two that would be covered. That's at least my understanding. Centro Tepeyac and one other, one called Birthright, is my understanding. I couldn't speak to whether that's true today. But what I could speak to, again, is...
Now, the county provides abortion services, doesn't it? The county itself?
I don't know that for sure, Your Honor. I don't know either way.
But they had an outlet that...
I think I've seen stuff that they've... I'm going beyond the record, if I may. To my knowledge, I do believe they at least will refer people to Planned Parenthood if they want...
Planned Parenthood the service that's available for abortion if you want it?
It's certainly one of them. I couldn't say if it's the only one. Last point I'd like to make on the compelling interest point. Most discussions about pregnancy in Montgomery County don't happen at Centro Tepeyac, right? Most discussions about what do I do, I'm pregnant, don't happen at the little Catholic Pregnancy Center on Apple Avenue there. They happen all throughout the county, and they happen with friends and family members and teachers and religious leaders and cousins, and people get their information from books and websites and TVs and newspapers and magazines. The county doesn't regulate the information or the disclosures that need to be made by any of those people. all of those people, all of those speakers could come with whatever biases they have. And in fact, if someone goes to a Planned Parenthood center, someone goes to an abortion clinic and is counseled by an unlicensed counselor, that unlicensed counselor under this law doesn't need to make any disclosure at all. No sign on the wall saying, hey, I don't have a license. No sign saying the county thinks you ought to go see someone who's licensed. Right? The mere fact that at the abortion clinic, someone will come in on Saturday to perform abortions, right? A doctor will come in and provide medical services there, exempts all the counseling that happens there, even counseling by unlicensed people. If the county actually had a compelling interest in making sure that every listener knew whether the person they were speaking to was a licensed medical professional or not, they'd regulate in all of those contexts. They don't. They only regulate in one, the walls of Centro Tepeyac and one other pregnancy center. And they do that, again, with absolutely no real evidence in the record, and without having pursued that interest in any of the millions of ways, thousands, dozens of ways, that they could pursue that interest, like simply just telling people, why can't they put on their website, Centro Tepeyac doesn't have a licensed medical provider? Why couldn't they put a sign up? They could put a sign on the sidewalk if they want. They own the right of way. They could tell people this in all sorts of ways. The bottom line is it can't possibly be the least restrictive means to send these allegedly compelling messages to make us send them. If it's compelling and they think it's compelling, they can send it. We can have an argument about it. But they can't force it on our walls. The First Amendment says, and the First Amendment requires under Riley, that the government doesn't get to dictate how people speak.
All right, thank you, Mr. Rand.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll come down and greet counsel and then take a short recess. We're not going to help out.